Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will, and verse 19. I'm going to try to quit right on time, and I may go to maybe about 5 after or so, but I try to keep it within a window of at least up to about 8 o'clock or so. I may go a little bit longer because of the little facts I'm going to give you tonight. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own?" Then it goes on to say, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I remember the first time I read that scripture, I was 18 and a half years of age. And I read that scripture, and I said, I've been looking at it all the wrong way. Because I received Christ as my Savior when I was 18, and I realized at that time, my body does not belong to me. Now, all the way up to 18 years of age, I was on athletic teams in high school, never drank, never smoked, never did anything like that. Was heavily involved in athletics, but my daddy drank and my daddy smoked. And my mom never drank, but my mama smoked. And I remember walking in, Mrs. Wells remember coming to my house, and when she came to our house one day, we decided to help Mom clean. We had this huge mirror that took up the whole wall. I mean, just a gigantic mirror that took up the whole wall, and we had this velvet couch that was in front of the mirror, and we decided we're going to clean that mirror. So we got up there, and we started cleaning that mirror, and the yellow that came off of that mirror was absolutely incredible from the nicotine. And then we decided, well, you know, we had white walls. Well, at least they weren't white at the time, but they were kind of a dingy white. And so we decided that we were going to clean the walls, and we started wiping down the walls in that living room area. And believe it or not, they were not supposed to be a dingy white. It was a bright white by the time we got done. But all the yellow that came off of those walls from that nicotine. And I thought, you know, first couple of years, I wasn't raised by my parents as a little child. I was raised on that farm that I told you about many, many times, that 280-acre farm. And I wonder what it would be like to be raised in a household where everybody smoked, where all that secondhand smoke is coming in and coming in and coming in, and a child is actually consuming that smoke. And so I want us to see some things statistically tonight about that, which is drugs and tobacco. Nearly one-third of all high school students have used drugs. We used to live in Brooklyn, New York many years ago. We used to live over by the Prospect Park in Brooklyn, New York. And several times I get on the train and I go down to Harlem and other places, down to the Bronx and over to Manhattan and places like that, as I'd get on those trains and I'd ride those trains to different places throughout the city. And Harlem is comprised of 40 blocks. That's the largeness of Harlem. But at the statistical time that they took this, which was only a year ago, by the way, they said that there was 18,000 addicts that lived in Harlem, and 2,000 of them were children ages 7 to 15. You know, drugs in a city such as a metroplex like this is very easy to get a hold of. So don't you be somebody that's ignorant of the fact that drugs do not run rapidly down the streets of Dallas, because they do. The average age of a child that starts smoking in America is age 9. The tobacco industry spent $15 million per day in advertising last year. That's the tobacco industry. There are 10 million cigarettes sold per minute worldwide. 10 million. Now, let me give you some things to think about on why not to use drugs or tobacco. You say, "Well, preacher, this you don't understand. I've been a Christian for a long time. I will never use drugs or alcohol. I'm glad for you, and I'm proud of you, but there's some teenagers and children in here tonight that need to understand the harmful use and the persuasion of those particular things. Also, it would do you a great advantage tonight if you would be able to take some notes and listen very carefully so that you could help somebody else not to be persuaded to be involved with such things. Think about this tonight. Why should I not use it? You ought not to use it because that body that you have is not your body. It is not your body. I read those verses just a moment ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 19 where it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so your body does not belong to you. Your body as a believer belongs to God. Now, I want you to think about things as you think about your body belonging to God. Each cigarette takes 14.4 minutes off a person's life. So every time a person lights up a cigarette and smokes it all the way through, it takes 14.4 minutes off that person's individual life. A cigarette contains over one cigarette contains over 4,000 different chemicals. 40 of those chemicals are cancer-producing chemicals. 19 of those chemicals are toxic poisons. Think about this. Less than 20% of all doctors in America smoke cigarettes. That ought to tell you something. One out of five deaths in America are smoking-related. There is 445 new cases of lung cancer in America every single day. Every 8 seconds, someone in the world dies of tobacco use. Think about nicotine. Nicotine kills brain cells. Nicotine destroys the organ. Nicotine is something that would cause an organ to fail. It collapses a vein. It causes the nerve damage. So nicotine within itself does a lot of harm to the body. One in two heart attacks that happen in the United States is either smoking-related or drinking-related. Think about some of the other things that happens just from nicotine. There's lung cancer, there's throat cancer, there's mouth cancer, there's liver cancer, there's pneumonia many times. It's brought on by nicotine. There's bronchitis, there's emphysema, there's heart disease, there's cirrhosis of the liver, there's kidney failure, there's urinary infections, there's urinary diseases, urinary failure, there's memory loss, brain damage, vision failure, paralysis, strokes, organ failure, and all that leads to one thing called death. There's 105,000 people that die each year due to alcohol. Listen to it. 3,300 people that die from use of cocaine. 2,400 people that die because of heroin. 31,000 people, we're talking about now in America, that die each year because of AIDS. There's 434,000 people, however, that die of tobacco use. So think about the stats there. Statement number two, think about this. Why should I not use these type of harmful things? Well, first off, because your body is not yours. The body that you have belongs to the Lord. Statement number two is because you should not be under control of something else. So there ought not be anything at all that controls you. You shouldn't be under control of anything else. You know, the Bible says over in Psalm 119, verse 133, listen to it. It says, "Let not any iniquity have dominion over me." So nothing that is sinful should have dominion, that means control, over me. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." So nothing should have complete control over that physical body that God has given you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Now again, over means control. Dominion means control. So God says that things that are sinful and wrong ought not to control you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, I will not be brought under the power of any. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, I will keep my body, it says, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. All right, so why should I not use it? Well, I ought not to use it because I ought not to be under control. Now, it'll control you mentally. It will control you. It will have a mental control over you. I'm talking about tonight drugs and tobacco, and giving you some stats on alcohol also. It will control you mentally. There will be a mental control. You know, alcohol, tobacco, drugs adversely will cause you to lose ability to think clearly, to act punctually or to act quickly, to think logically, to be just in your thinking, to be honest, to be principle-oriented or even spiritual. Because those things will control you. Excess drinking does this. It kills the brain cells. Not only does it kill the brain cells, but a person that drinks or takes toxins from smoking into the body, here's what the doctors say, that there is 50% less brain cells produced because they're not able to produce. So what does it do? It mentally controls you. What does it do? It morally controls you. It has a moral effect. You think about Noah in the book of Genesis chapter 9, verses 21 through 24. Noah was involved in nakedness, and many people think even into homosexuality. All right, you think about Lot, Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 35. There was incest that was involved there. You think about Uriah. Here's what he did in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 13. There was a loss of self-control. And you think about anybody else, and there's always something that is a consuming function of that, whether it's lust or some type of perversion or something like that, but it's a controlling substance. In 1962, the study showed this, that over 90% of all crimes were people that were actively involved as addicts on a substance. Alcohol plays a role, think about this, of 73% of all felonies. 73% of all child abuse is because of alcohol. 41% of all rape. 81% of spousal abuse. 72% of stabbings. 83% of homicides, 48% of robberies, 44% of burglaries, 68% of manslaughter, and 54% of murder is due to alcohol. Well, there's that muscular control. It controls the muscles. Here's what it says in Job chapter 12 and verse 25. It says, they grope in the dark without light. He that maketh them, it says, to stagger like a drunken man. All right, so a person that is under that which is the control of a drug or of a substance will grope in darkness. They feel, okay, groping, what is that? They're feeling their way around. They don't know, they can't see. Almost like when you get up in the dark of the night, you can't find the light switch to turn it on. What do you do? You're groping around. You're trying to find your way around. Okay, that's a person that is under control of a type of substance. Okay, Psalm 107 and verse 25, the Bible says, they reel to and fro. It says, and stagger like a drunken man. Okay, you ever seen somebody that was under the control of alcohol? Well, they do. They stagger. They can't walk. And that's why the police, what does the police do? The police tries to get them out and to walk what? To walk a straight line. They want to see if they're under control of that particular substance. Okay, Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, as a drunkard man, it said, staggereth, it says, in his vomit. And so here's a man that's staggering in his own vomit. Each year, over 150,000 people are injured in accidents because of alcohol. 50,000 of them are killed because of alcohol. So here's what we see. We see this, that it's not good to use. Let me give you some other reasons. It's not good to use because of money. I would not start using drugs, or I would teach my children not to use and to abstain from going that direction, even in a mildly fashion, because of money. All right? Let me give you some example. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 17, the Bible says, listen to what it says, he that loveth pleasure shall be poor. It says, shall be a poor man. It says, he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 21, the Bible says, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And it says, and drowsiness shall clothe, it says, a man with rags. All right, so what takes place? When you spend money, by the way, you're only going to have so much money, and when you spend it someplace, I have news for you, it's gone. So if you start spending it in places like this, let me give you some examples of how much money has been spent, if you will, in fighting just the drug trafficking. In America, taxpayers spend $76 billion in fighting drug trafficking. Alcoholism among the employees and their employers last year cost businesses and production $134 billion last year in production in businesses. Depression. Depression is among the employees, as far as the businessman is concerned, last year lost $44 billion last year as far as the production and the business because of that thing that's called depression. Over 16,000 Americans in drug-related accidents, think about last year, talking about last year, cost the taxpayers $51 billion last year because of alcohol-related accidents. What about your money? Okay, let me tell you what your money, of course, hopefully not your personal money, but let me tell you what Americans is buying with their money. Okay, last year they spent $80 billion on cigarettes. $80 billion on cigarettes. And that means the average smoker will spend $1,200 a year themselves on cigarettes. Now, what could you do more profitable with $1,200 than to spend it on smokes? Americans spent $100 billion last year, $100 billion last year on alcohol. The average drunkard last year spent $2,500 last year on alcohol. Americans, and we're talking about last year, spent $70 billion on narcotics. Last year, Americans spent $86 billion on antidepressants. Antidepressants. Wine, okay, wine will cost a person between $10 and thousands of dollars per bottle. Drugs will cost a person $25 to billions of dollars, or millions of dollars rather, depending on what type of drug it is and the amount that they use. Your personal money, here's what happens. Personal money, if you are indulging in drugs or alcohol or in smoking or something like that many, many times, but let me show you just in using the alcohol and the drug-related stuff, many, many times the money has to go for fixing things up as a result of that use, such as a car. Come on average, there's going to be more car wrecks under that which is the substance than without. So you're going to spend more time fixing up the car. You're going to spend more time getting rid of the sickness that it caused. You're going to spend more time fixing up damages that it caused. There's going to be more divorces, more alimony payments. There's going to be more child support payments. There's going to be more lawsuits just because somebody has to pop a pill, just because somebody has to lift a bottle. The results of that is incredibly wrong. You know, tax money, what's it cost the taxpayer? Okay, last year, taxpayer had to cough up $167 billion on smoking-related diseases. $167 billion on smoke-related diseases. Okay, we spent $5 billion on alcohol-related diseases last year. We're talking about your money that you pay for tax. We spent $166 billion to combat the effects of alcohol each year. The effects of it. We spent $6 billion on drug rehabs and sicknesses last year that people got simply because they used the drugs. We spent $30 billion on AIDS and HIV in 1 year, mostly because of drugs and the sin of homosexuality. Now, think about this, if you will. What about your insurance? I'm just giving you some practical things, not just scriptural, because I think everybody needs to understand the full ramifications of it. All right? So how does it affect your insurance, okay? When you're using drugs, when you're smoking, when you're using alcohol, you're going to pay a higher premium for your health insurance, for your life insurance, for your car insurance. You're going to pay a greater premium on all those things. I remember when it came time for me to get health insurance, and I just had come off, I don't know, I think it was a 28-day fast or something like that, and this was last year, and so I fasted for about 28 days, and I thought, you know, that's a wonderful time to renew my life insurance, because I just lost all that weight. I mean, I lost about, 35, 40 pounds or so, and I just lost all that weight, and I thought, that's a wonderful time, because that may never happen again in my life. And so I once I lost all that weight, I thought I'm gonna call somebody up and I'm gonna get life insurance. And so I made it almost. The guy said, but I'm telling you, I'm just being honest, you know, the guy said, oh, if you can lose just about 10 or 15 more pounds, he said, we can give you the premium of the premium. And I said, oh, God bless you. But I had him come up, and he checked me out in the office and stuff like that. And I got a very, very good buy on life insurance. And the church was able to get that lead man policy because of that. All right? And you say, preacher, you ought to do it again. I will if you'll do it with me. But you know, that life insurance, you know, when you're using different things, here's what takes place, is it heightens that. You know, when you're in better health, come on, you're not going to get sick as much. You're not going to have to pay the doctor as much. You're not going to have to visit the hospital as much. You're going to feel better. Yeah, that's right. We're all going to start a running club here next week is what we're going to do. All right, statement number four, okay? It's not the good crowd association. Now, we're talking about drug users. We're talking about alcohol drinkers. We're talking about smokers. It's not good crowd association. You know, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, but now I have written, it says, unto you not to keep company. Now it gives a list. It says not to keep company with fornicators, covetous, idolaters, railers, drunkard, extortioners. Now here's what it says. It says with such a one, it says no, not to eat. So he says, when somebody is drinking, you're not supposed to sit down and eat with them. Hello? When somebody is committing immorality, you're not supposed to have that close fellowship where you're sitting down and just, it's no big deal. Okay? When somebody is involved in and being somebody that's a railer. Now, what is that? Okay? Somebody that's always, you know, trying to push somebody into a fight or something like. Okay? It says, look, you know, somebody that's an idolater. You know, somebody that all they have is just these idols. Somebody that's an extortioner. Somebody that's covetous. He said, look, these people, he said, you need to be careful about this. Don't sit down and eat with them. Now, why? Because, see, when you flock with somebody like that, if you're not careful, especially if you're a weak believer, you'll become like they are. All right? Now, here's what it says. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 7, the Bible says, whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of a riot of righteous men shameth his father. All right, so God says there's some things that we need to be aware of with your company. Remember that the companion of fools, listen, they're guilty by association. Guilty by association. You know, few people will hang around the sober crowd and be tempted to get drunk. Few people will hang around the clean crowd and be tempted to smoke. Few people will hang around the non-drug using crowd and be tempted to use drugs. So the people that you hang around does have a degree of influence in your life. You know, you show me who your friends are today and I'll show you what your habits will be tomorrow. It is very important that we have the right friends to produce the right type of habits. You know, no friend that's going to encourage you to do wrong is going to be a right friend for you. When two wise people walk together, you have twice as much wisdom. When two foolish people walk together, you have twice as much foolishness. So it's important that you choose your company when the leaving and cleaving act becomes a part of your life. In friendship nature. All right, now why not do it? Well, let me give you another one. It's just not logical. It's just not logical to use these type of abusive things in your body. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 29 it says, no man, it says, ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. You know, here's what God says. He says, and we're even going to teach about this one night. You'll be amazed as I'm putting together a Bible study, even on tattoos, you know, what God's views on social issues. But you'll be amazed at how people, when they view themselves, why do they do themselves bodily harm? Why do they do that? You know what? I'll save that. Okay, but it is important that we understand that no man really hates his own flesh. You know, common sense. God puts a certain type of protection thing inside of you, and God puts a certain type of care for yourself attitude inside. Well, let me give you some other reasons, because it's not fair to others. Statement number 6: it's just not fair to others. When you start to abuse alcohol, when you start to do these things in your life, it's just not fair. It's not fair to those around you. It's just not fair. It's a selfish act that doesn't show fairness to other people around you. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, the Bible says, listen to it now, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So God says, here's a quick principle. He said, as you want others to be to you, then you be to them also. As you want others to do to you, then you do to them also. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap? Sure. Okay. Well, think about this. Here's what happens. You know, others have to put up with your filth. Take smoking for an example. They got to put up with the filth of the secondhand smoke that really they didn't want. They have to put up with the tar residue, if you will, that's on the walls and the furniture and in the vehicle. You know, they didn't pay for that. They didn't want that. Have to put up with the smell. You ever walk in somebody's house and they've been smoking, and by the time you walk out, you smell like you have been smoking. Sure, you know, you got to put up with all that stuff. So you smell that stuff. You ever get around somebody that's drinking alcohol? Yeah, they spilled on you, and you smell like you've been doing what? Drinking alcohol. Sure, all right? So you got to put up with their sin. You got to put up with their filth, okay? Others have to put up with the inconvenience of your sin, trying to sober you up. That's an inconvenience. Why would you want to inconvenience your friend if it was a true friend while they're taking vital time and trying to sober you up when you shouldn't have got drunk to begin with? You know, driving you someplace because you don't have the ability to drive yourself. Man, you're inconveniencing somebody else. You know, others have to put up with your physical results of sin. You know, the numerous injuries because you don't have the functional ability to control yourself. The loss of that which is your own facilities. And they have to clean up after you. The crime, the robbery. All that goes along with that. You know, others have to help you financially because your insurance is going to increase. And now you got to get help. And your health is going to go down. Now you got to get help. You know, it's going to increase the hospital visits. Now you got to get help. Boy, you're an inconvenience to somebody else financially. You know, your taxes are going to increase. You know, there's going to be more law enforcement. Has to be. For the protection of society because of an elite group like this. There's higher prices. There's lower production. All these things. Okay, it's not fair on the family. Here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's an unselfish act. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. How many times do you see somebody that is using or abusing drugs, if you will, please, or alcohol or something like that, and their personality changes? They become more short in their personality. They become more abrupt in their personality. They become more harsh in their personality. You know what they're doing? Here's what they're doing. They're provoking their children. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, if any man provide not for his own, not for his own, he is worse, or it says, especially those of his own house, and then he's denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. So he says here, he says, for a person not to provide for his own. Now, what's that talking about? Well, food for the table. How many times does a person spend selfishly their own money for their smokes and for their drinks and for their drugs, and it takes away from, oh, we can't go out to eat this week. I'm sorry. There's just not enough money. Well, yeah, we would like to buy you a birthday cake, but after all, there's no money in the account. Well, I know you need shoes, and you got holes in the bottom of your shoes, but you got to understand, I had to go out and have fun last week with my pals and my buddies, you know, and I wasn't thinking about you. You know, you have to understand, it does affect your family. It is not fair to your family. The fighting, the arguing, the divorce, the abuse. Nearly 40% of all divorces is because of alcohol. Nearly 75% of all spousal abuse is because of alcohol. Nearly 80% of all domestic violences is because of something that is drug or alcohol related. There's the lack of finances that your family is going to have. I can't pay the bills, the waste of the money because of a habit, the increase of a doctor bill, the hospital bill, the medication, the increase of insurance rates, the money for bailing somebody out of jail or putting them in a rehab. There's the poor example that, here's what it says, watch this. 2 times more children will smoke because they have a parent that's a smoker. 60% of children that live in households that drink will become alcoholics. Physical problems because of children, as far as a child is involved, 40,000 children, babies, last year was born of mothers that had mental disabilities or physical deformities because somebody was abusing drugs or drinking alcohol. Babies inhale secondhand smoke 4 times faster than anybody else. There is 6 times more crib deaths because of that which is inhaling smoke than any other type of crib death. Let me give you a last thought. I'm done. It's not helpful to God's work. When you're involved in serving God, you ought to abstain from things just because you love the Lord God. Now, here's what the Bible says, and I'm done. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. The Bible says, listen to it. He that doubteth, listen to what it says. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right? So it's not helpful to God's work if we partake of something that is not of faith. In other words, you can't ask God to bless it. Hello, dear God, I'm about to light up for Jesus, and I want you to know that, oh, I love those 40,000 chemicals that I'm about to put into my system. God, I want to thank you so much for those 90 or so different cancers that I'm about to put in there and subject to my body, and God, for those 16 type of extra poisons, I'm thankful. Bless me. That's kind of hard, isn't it? God, I want to thank you for the liquor that I'm about to partake, because I know that once I drink this, my mind's not going to be straight. I know that once I do this, that now all of a sudden, you're not going to have complete control. Hello? See, your body belongs to the Lord. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 2 more verses, I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, let all things be done onto edifying. That means building up. James chapter 4, last verse, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right? Now, that's a Bible study. And by the way, that's not preaching. Preaching, you get a Sunday morning, Sunday night. But sometimes you need to just go verse by verse and see what the Bible teaches that will help you. You know, the Bible says that God's children are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know why people, when I was a youth director, and I was a youth director for 10 years, and when I was a youth director, the questions my teenagers asked me was this: preacher, we hear it, we don't understand it. We hear it preached, we hear it railed on, we hear it hit, but we want to, if we could just understand the why, it would be a whole lot easier to obey. Now, you got some pretty good whys tonight, practically and scripturally from the Bible. Wouldn't it be good tonight if some children and some teenagers and, yea, some adults would understand the concept that that body that you have belongs to God, and we're supposed to honor him, and we're supposed to glorify him, not just in our spirit, but in our body, which belongs to the Lord.